Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another play building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Good evening, everyone. I'm glad you could join us on another episode of Kingdom of God Ministry Internet Radio. We are coming to you live from the beautiful city of Atlanta. I have my husband, Bishop Bobby, Elder Bobby. We don't go by titles here, but I'm Evangelist Kathy. If you prefer to call me Miss Kathy, Kathy, that's fine. But I have a guest call-in number. If you feel free, just feel free to call in. Our guest phone number is 646-668-8633. 646-668-8643. We have a discussion on tonight, basic deliverance teaching. And before we open up, I would like to open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come to you humbly, Lord God. Lord, we are your servants. Lord God, we are oracles of you. Just speak through us, Lord. We lay down our own will, Lord God, on tonight, and we ask that you just use us, Father God, for your purpose, for your will. Lord God, as my voice go out through the audience, Lord God, touch those that are listening, that may be restless or tormented in their soul, Lord God. We ask that you draw them to this program on tonight, for they will find healing, salvation, and deliverance. Lord God, you know the one. It's by your Holy Spirit that you say you will draw all men unto you. So, Lord God, those that are listening in our listening audience that are in need of a breakthrough, in need of salvation, Holy Spirit, by your power, we ask that you draw them to this program on tonight. And, Lord God, we just want to thank you that you have given us this platform where we can preach the unadulterated word, Lord God, and we don't take credit for what we do. But we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So, like I said, we have a hot topic tonight, basic deliverance teaching. I would like to call it basic deliverance 101. You know why we're covering this topic tonight? Because what I'm finding in our ministry is we're finding a lot of Christians are bound up with certain demonic oppression. I know it's not popular in your traditional seeker-friendly churches, but God put it on our heart to bring it to you. I see so many believers, they say, yeah, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and they are just bound up with all kinds of sins that so easily beset them. God wants you free tonight, saints. We're going to be talking about the battle, how to win the battle. You know, we're going to be talking about doors that open demonic attacks, demonic oppression. See, you have to open that door. And so many times we're going to talk about the flesh, how the flesh will yield your door to be opened by the enemy. You know, the Bible says the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Will you be his next prey? Think about it. So we're coming to you live. You have questions. We have a call-in line. We're always open for your questions, your comments. We ask that you call in. Again, our call-in number is 646-668-8633. And I know a lot of times people say, well, can a Christian have a demon? I just want to go over a few, for instances, I would say if you allow or you invite that spirit in, you can. You can have a demon if you want it. But I find out in the deliverance ministry what the Hollywood have done. They have, magnified demon possession. Like when you mention the word demon, it automatically sends chills up a person's spine. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, that word shouldn't frighten you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I hear so many, oh, there they go talking about that demon stuff. Well, honey, if the people that is oppressed can't come to the church, where else will they go? You notice when Jesus went to the temple, he cast a man that had the devil in him right out in the temple. So if you're turning people away that is oppressed, you know what the enemy is doing? Oh, he's having a heyday because the church is not doing what they're supposed to do. So because of that, and you're going to see and more as we get toward the, a lot of things going to be happening in the next few months. You're going to see more demonic activity going on. You know why? Because people is turning their heart against God. You say, well, how are they doing that? By not accepting the things of God. When you tell God, not today, I want to hold on to this little pet sin I have, in a sense, you're denying Jesus. Because he said he's staying at the door and knock. He's always knocking on your heart. So if you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit is not is telling you, you need to get rid of this, this, and this. See, the Holy Spirit knows. And you say, well, Lord, I don't want to let it go, in so many words. What are you doing? You're telling God to his face, I don't want you. Think about it. So let's not get all holy and, well, I go to church every Sunday. Going to church don't mean nothing. That's just a building. The church is in you. The church is in your heart. So let's get into it. I'm coming out of Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And you know the scripture. I mean, it's a familiar scripture. It's talking about spiritual warfare. And a lot of times we need to teach spiritual warfare so you will know how to combat the enemy that you're fighting. If you don't know about your weaponry to use, how in the world is you going to defeat the devil? I mean, he's from Ancient of Days. He study you. He have personal demons assigned to you. He know your weaknesses. And this is how he comes. So if you don't have on the whole armor of God, how do you expect to fight the enemy? And that's what I find. A lot of people in the church, let's talk about the church, because I'm not talking to the world, because we know who the children of the world belong to. They belong to the enemy. But to the church, if you don't know the weapons, your weapons, he said, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal to the pulling down of strongholds. So if you're walking in a carnal nature, how will you pull down any, how will you pull down demonic strongholds in your life? Okay, let's go over here to Ephesians, and I'm going to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and I will begin to read, and you can follow along with me in the scripture, and then we will go from there. Amen? So it reads as such, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not your own might, but the power of the Holy Ghost. Be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be weak. Be mature in the Lord. Spiritual maturity. In the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies, the tactics of the devil. Did you hear what I said? If you don't put on the whole armor opposite, you won't be able to stand against the tactics and the wiles of the devil. He said, for we wrestle, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is in the spirit, in the natural realm. So when you see that person or something attacking you, you got to look past that physical body and look at the spirit that is in operation, that is using that person to vex you. You see, when Jesus spoke to Peter, he told Peter, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He didn't call Peter the devil, but he knew what was behind. See, the enemy, he knew what was using Peter, you see? And sometimes we don't understand that that person in the physical, husband, wife, children, but whatever is using them, is the enemy using them to bring discord, to bring confusion, to bring strife, where there's every strife and envy. Envy and strife, there's every evil work. So he said, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. These are demonic forces, against the rulers of darkness of this age. And I we'll get into some of that later, how the fallen one has been around since the beginning of our age. So he know men. He studies men. He hate men. His ultimate goal is to get you separated from God because he hate God. Now, let me tell you this. If he hate God and you over there stepping in his camp, Think about that. But you say you love God, but you over there dabbling in the devil's territory. See, you got to think beyond this, because I want you to be set free, because if you're a child of God, you have no business dabbling in the enemy's territory. If you is a Christian, you have no business going to a porno club or going to a strip joint or even looking at it on TV. Because he'll bring these things to your flesh. Then I say powers, rulers of darkness of this age, that's how he operates. They are demonic demon spirits that bring these thoughts and these desires to your flesh. And you know what your flesh doing? If it's not full of the spirit, it's going to yield. That's why he say, be full of the spirit. Man should always pray. Now, I'm not talking about we're going to sin, you know, that's just human nature, but I'm not talking about that kind of sin where you may just go and, you know, those aren't sins out of your heart. But when you're doing something, the things that protrude out of your heart, the lust, the murders, and we're going to get into that a little deeper. Those are the type of sins he's talking about. And you say, well, evangelist, how could I have a demon? I'm just doing a little peep show at the porn club. You know what? That little peep show eventually will open the door. It may start as a peep show, but then is the crack going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you'll find yourself indulging, clicking on it, going to visit, seeking it out. Let me tell you something. The more you feed your flesh, the more the flesh wants. So if you feed your flesh of carnal things, that flesh going to want carnal things. The things of God become boring to you. You don't even have a desire. That's how you know when the enemy is getting you set up for a prey. You his prey. He got you zoomed in. You're a target. And that's how you know when he's getting you ready. But think about when you were full of the Spirit. You were walking around praising God, singing scriptures, holy scriptures, reading all this. This is the thing. He come to you because a lot of times he defeats you because Christians don't know the word. That's why we're going to get into that about some of the spiritual warfare. And one of them is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But let's go on. Okay. We said against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. See, he's up there he's not up there with God. But you remember when Daniel was praying, he had to break through some principalities over that region. Because a lot of times they hoover around in various regions, even over cities and in your own household. When you're praying, they try to block your prayers and try to hinder you through different things that come up that they'll try to hinder you. Anything they can do to keep you from worshiping God, spending time with God. You know why? Because they don't want your flesh to grow. So you got to beat that flesh into subjection. You have to beat it. Just like you desire natural food, that's how you have to beat that flesh and make them desire the things of the kingdom. Because it's not going to just automatically say, oh, I want to read today. Not the flesh. Flesh going to tell you, you know what? You're tired. You had a long day. Oh, don't listen to Blog Talk Radio. They ain't talking about nothing. See, that's the enemy. Because the enemy want to keep you bound up where you can't break free. Because he know in casting him out, he won't have anywhere to go. Okay, let's read on. He said, therefore, now this is what I want to get into. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. See, withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and all supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may it be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. So you see, we have to put on the whole armor of God, saints. If you're going to win the battle, you must know your enemy. You must know the power and equipment to attack him. See, some of us need to do a counterattack, because we've been letting the enemy attack us for years and years and years. He'll tell you, oh, you depressed. Oh, okay. And so then he'll tell you depressed. Then you start taking all kinds of antidepressants. Devil told me I'm depressed, or I'm depressed. He'll tell you, oh, why don't you just, you know, you're alcoholic. Well, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. He told me I'm an alcoholic, so I just drink myself to death. Come on, these are lies of the enemy. And look, I'm trying to get you set free, because you don't know how many people we come in contact. They love the Lord, but the devil has lied to them so much they believe in the lie of the enemy. The Bible told you he was a liar from the beginning. He lied to Eve, and she accepted that lie. So he's going to bring you a lie to tell you you're defeated, to tell you there's no hope. Amen? But we're showing you how to have protection against him, against the enemy. Okay? The first, he said, the girdle of truth. Okay? The girdle of truth. Satan, we said, is a liar. We must oppose him with God's truth. All right? And what I'm saying is, when you put on the whole armor of God, his truth will hold everything together in your life. Amen? Then the breastplate of righteousness. This piece of armor covered the front of the soldier's body from the neck to the upper part of his thighs. It protected the vital organs, and Paul is referring to here as the righteousness of Christ, which we receive when we trust him. Now, if you don't have the righteousness of God and you out there dabbling in the enemy's cap, you don't have on the righteousness of God. You open target. Then you see what I say? He go for the vital organs. You ain't covered. So Satan's going to shoot for the vital organs to take you down. He said you would be able to quench the fiery darts with this breastplate. But if you don't have the breastplate on, how will you quench fiery darts? Amen? Then he said, shod your feet with shoes of peace. I mean, you understand what that is. Try to avoid a lot of confusion, a lot of anger. I mean, sometimes he'll feed things in you and you won't be even knowing where the anger comes from. Just mad, just angry. We have to be very conscientious of what the enemy is trying to do to our mind. Because he'll bring a spirit of depression, he'll bring anger, you know. And we know that how the Roman soldiers, they wore the shoes for stability and mobility. See? So if you don't have your feet shod with the preparation of peace, how are you going to stand firm? You shaky, you all over the place. You don't even have a stable target. The enemy just can knock you off whenever he get ready to. Amen? And, of course, the shield of faith. We have to have the shield of faith, he said, to quench the fiery darts. You know, the fiery darts Satan shoots at us, they could be your thoughts. They could be fears, worries. They could be sexual perversion. They could be some of this. I mean, if you've been looking at the news lately, I mean, the way the devil is attacking people's mind to get them to go out and just kill people. It's like, you know, and I told you the enemy has ramped up his attack on the minds of people. And those that don't have the protection of the Holy Spirit, they're going out and doing heinous crimes. And then the family say, oh, I didn't know he was like that. He was such a good guy. You know why? Because they have opened themselves up to that enemy, to the devil. And once you get to that point, when you can go out and take another person's life off of anger or hatred, you have totally given yourself over to the enemy. Amen? And then he said the helmet of salvation. Paul is referring to the hope the believer has in the return of Jesus Christ. Satan often used discouragement and hopelessness as weapons to oppose us. It is when we are discouraged that we are the most vulnerable. And I'm speaking from experience. You can't let things happen in your life, but don't get it to the point where you just give up hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our blessed hope is Christ Jesus. Don't get it to the point where you get so discouraged that you start looking back out in the world. Or, well, you know, the enemy will come to you. Well, you had it so good when you was in the world. What is good about being in the world? If you think back over your life, he's only showing you part of it. Before you came into the realization of who Jesus was, think about your life. That's probably why you came to him in the first place, because you was at your rope's end. And you say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. I need you. So why in the world would you start looking back out in the world? Because the enemy is bringing you a false hope. But he said, we should not be hopeless. Amen? We shouldn't be discouraged. See, we have weapons to oppose that. Spirit of joy. He said, and then the last one, well, it's the spirit, the sword of the spirit. This is an offensive weapon. The other parts of the armor are for defense. Okay? Spiritual sword of the word of God is different from any material sword that man may wield or wield. Okay? Think of this. A material sword gets dull when they're using, but the word of God remains sharp. He said, as a two-edged sword. A material sword must be handled by physical power, but the spiritual sword already has life and power in it. The Spirit of God enable us to use the Word of God effectively. But if you don't know the Word, how will you use the Word against your enemy? When he comes to you with saying, you know, you defeated, say, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So you have to use the word back on him because he will come. Amen? We need to stop, and I want to get to this part. We need to stop looking at the flesh for everything. You know, we have an invisible realm. In the spirit, and it is a spiritual realm. Whether people want to acknowledge it or not, we are fighting a spiritual battle. That's why he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, because it is a spiritual battle. And like I said, the enemy wants to take your mind. Eventually, he wants your soul. This is why the battle is going on. If he could get your mind, then he can get your flesh, then he could get your soul. Because a lot of times when you get caught up in your flesh, it feels so good to the flesh. Then he says good for a season. And that flesh don't want you to let it go. Just because, I want to say these, just because you are a Christian doesn't mean you are necessarily living in victory. And this is what I'm telling you. I see so many Christians that are bound up, even though they go to church every Sunday, hold up holy hands, shout, praise God, but they're still bound. They don't know how to break free. They'll do a little prayer on the altar, but they'll leave the altar and go back to the same thing, still bound. sometimes you might need to call another brother or sister and say, look, pray for me, help me, cast this thing off of me, you see? He says, is there any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church. And that could be physical and spiritual. Sometimes you need to have that thing broken off your life and called out and repent of it. Don't just have people praying and you're not repenting of it. Amen? So I said, you know, a lot of Christians, if you think of Christians now, some Christians in your own little circle, you probably can name quite a few who they go on to church every day, but they are not victorious. But through God's Spirit, you can be victorious. Amen? We must fight the powers of darkness. That's why I told you about the spiritual battle. It's spiritual, saints. Don't try to do it by natural means. You fight this thing until it releases you. Because you don't have power of your own. Your power is in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? How do demons enter? Most common question I hear Christians ask, how do demons enter? Through doors. they'll sugarcoat the sin. Some of it might be unbelief. See, and they'll sugarcoat that sin. And they'll tell you, just like he told Eve, well, you won't surely die. Well, a little pornography ain't going to hurt you. You could go to the club. It ain't going to hurt you. No, it may not do nothing right now. But what I see is doing is getting your spirit weaker and weaker and weaker. See, you got the flesh and then you have the spirit. And he said they war against each other. So that spirit man is trying to grow in the things of God. But that flesh is trying to pull you away from God. That's like an antichrist spirit, because antichrist means the flesh is against God. He said, many false Christs shall arise. They were in his day, and they're here today. Anytime your flesh is trying to war against the things of God, that's antichrist. And you need to put him under subjection, the flesh. Because I hear it so much, oh, it's the flesh, it's the flesh, it's the flesh. Well, I'm breaking it down. It's antichrist. Your flesh is warring against the things of God. That's an antichrist spirit. Let me go on so we can wrap this up. Okay, I said they come in through open doors, sugar-coated religion, you know, people through sin, various sins, unbelief, you know. But this is the rank. They do obey hierarchy. They do obey rank. Devil ain't going to come in unless you invite him in. Just like the Holy Spirit ain't coming in unless you accept him. So God is not going to go against your will. Okay? And we have to be sure to close the doors. The word of God is the greatest offensive weapon man have. And like I say, we'll pray, we'll get you delivered, we'll help you. I can't do anything of my own. This is something you have to want it. You have to get so sick and tired of being tormented that you want this thing out of you. Because, you know, I find, you know, in deliverance, we can pray and pray and pray, and the person still be vexed with the devil. And we say, Lord, what's going on? Because it's a part of them that's holding on to that thing. I just want it out, Lord. I want it out. That's why Jesus asked the question, will thou be made whole? Do you want it bad enough? Because if you want it bad enough, when you get delivered from it, you won't go back to it. You see? But we'll do all that work, sitting up hours and hours praying for somebody, and then before the next week is over, they right back out there. He said, you'll bring back seven more devils worse than the first one. Shut these doors. Because if there's a crack, he's going to come in. Oh, in Luke 24, he said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. He's when you kick him out of your temple, he is in torment. Because they have to have somebody to dwell in. And you know, in the Jewish times, the reason Jesus broke it down to them like that, because over in their terrain, it was desert. Some areas were desert and deserted, and they thought spirits dwell there. Well, get that mental picture. When you kick them out of your house, your realm, your spiritual body, they walking around looking for a place, a body that they can inhabit. And he said, and findeth none. They seeking rest and findeth none. He said, I will return unto my house. He didn't say your house. He already claimed your temple. Well, she kicked me out, but I'm coming back. And I'm going to bring my friends. He said, my house whence I came out. In Matthew 15:19, out of the heart comes, let's read that, and then I'm going to get a flow over to Pat here. But let's go here to Matthew. I want to get you free tonight, Saint. You know, it's time out for all this back and forth, because you just keep getting yourself full of demons. That's what you're doing. And then, well, you know, and it's hard. The first time, then the second time, is you start finding yourself doing things you never would have dreamed of. You know why? Because that first demon brought back his friends. And each one is a little worse and a little worse. So Matthew 15:19, it reads as follows. Let's go there, and then I'll give the floor. Okay, 15:19, read. Do you have that? Okay, I'll give you time, but I was over here, and sometimes this Bible, I have to find the scriptures here because the writing is so small. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. You ask me how do doors be open? Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. Wow. Thefts, false witness, blasphemes. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, you know, that does not defile a man. But Jesus is telling you the things that comes out of a man's heart. So people always say, you don't know my heart. But if some of this stuff is coming out of you, then you already told me what's in your heart. I don't have to make that judgment. I'm not going to judge you. That's not my place. A lot of times the Holy Spirit already tell you, look, brother or sister, I'm not pleased with you doing this. You know, this is against what I want you to do. This is not my perfect will for your life. And you'll be so stubborn and disobedient that you continue doing it. Because you know why? You done made up your own Bible to fit what you're doing. So you already got the scriptures highlighted to say, well, you know, fornication ain't wrong. You know, I look at him as my husband. How in the world he going to be your husband? And God don't even recognize the marriage. Stop lying. Or your wife. Well, we love each other. I'm not saying you don't. But why don't you do it the right way? Why don't you put it on paper? Well, that's just for man. Man wrote them laws. No, God, he ordained marriage. Through all out the scripture. He ordained marriage. So we need to stop making up these lies to justify our sin, saints. Stop it. Well, a little wine for the stomach's sake, yeah, but he didn't tell you to be an alcoholic. You see how you twist the scriptures? You justify what you want to justify? Well, you know, we're all under grace. Yeah, but you're under grace. We're saved by grace, meaning that Jesus shed his blood on the cross for everyone. He will turn no one out if you call upon him. But he don't want you to continue in sin. Blatant sin. Unrepentant sin. Did you get what I said? Unrepentant sin. The nature of man, you're going to sin, but it shouldn't be a practice every day, sin. Sin, you know that is against God. Did I just tell you the things that come out of a man's heart? You can't tell me if you say you're a Christian and this stuff is proceeding out of your heart, you're a Christian. You are of the devil. You're a child of the enemy. Because you can't be of the child of light and of the child of darkness. Light and darkness will not mix. So you need to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But God's grace is sufficient. If you pray to him, God is faithful and just. Just call upon him and say, Lord, look, I'm sorry. I know I've been caught up in some of these sins and things that is not according to your word. Forgive me. And I cast out everything. I renounce every demonic spirit over my life right now. Spirit of suicide, spirit of murder, spirit of adultery, fornication. I renounce this and I cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then don't go back to it. Amen. And that's all you have to do. That's how simple it is. You can be delivered tonight. And like I said, Hollywood has made demon possession. And there are some times that demons will manifest. I'm not here to tell you they don't. We've seen it. But for the most part, they don't manifest like that. Because you give them an eviction notice. And you cast them out. You go to the word and you say, enough. You're getting out my temple tonight. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to bring that out, you know, but, you know, these are just some of the ways that come in through, you know, strife, bitterness, evil desires, things like that. So at this, I hope that was a blessing to you. I'm going to yield the floor over to Pastor Bobby, and he can come as the Lord leads him. And I hope you guys be blessed. Again, if you need to call in, you want to share. Sure. You got a testimony? Share. Call in number 646-668-8633. Be blessed.
Amen. Bless the Lord and bless all the people of the Most High God. And we want to thank the Lord for everything that Evangelist Catherine Montgomery said. And as our subject of tonight is basic deliverance teaching or basic deliverance. And we say basic. So we're basically just touching on the surface of it. Now, one thing I want to bring out in reference to this basic deliverance is this. When Jesus first came on the scene of his ministry, what he taught was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance involves salvation. You can forget about being delivered if you're not saved. Because that is the first step of any deliverance, okay? Salvation. As I said, Jesus started his ministry preaching a message of salvation, of repentance, and everything that he did, all of his miracles, was pointing back to him for salvation and repentance. Because salvation and repentance through him by the power of the Holy Ghost. So that is the beginning of your deliverance, salvation. Getting into the Word, learning the Word of God, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you've been cleansed of that stuff that you had before you were saved. He's cleansed you up. Now, I'm going to get into something real simple. It's simple, but it's not simple. It's powerful. And that's Romans 10. I'm going to start at the eighth verse because I feel this is basic. This is basic. The very beginning of your deliverance starts in salvation. So you have to know. And I'm saying this because see what happens a lot of times when you get saved, the enemy will come back to you and tell you that you're not. Okay? So you have to know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you have to reject him from your mind. You see, you have to do that. You have to do that. You can read in your Bible where it says that the gospel be hid is hid to them that don't believe. in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest they should see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the enemy always works with your mind, telling you things that's contrary to the word of God, or contrary to what Jesus Christ have taught you, that is contrary to your salvation. Okay, now I'm going to go to Romans 10. That's familiar, but I got to go there. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. See, a lot of times, your deliverance, people of the Most High God, is in your mouth. Did you hear me? Your deliverance, I'll say it again, your deliverance is in your mouth, in your mind, and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Did you hear what I said? It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. You can't keep receiving and believing what the enemy tells you. That's what got us in trouble in the first place. Eve had a conversation with the enemy. You cannot have a conversation with the enemy. You cannot match wits with the enemy. He's going to trip you up every time, and you're going to always get the short end of the stick when you try to match wits with the enemy, the devil, demons, fire spirits, whatever they are. If you start to have a conversation with them, you will lose all the time. Why will you lose? Because you're dealing with a spiritual entity with your natural carnal mind. You're not dealing with him according to the Spirit of God, because if you were, you wouldn't talk to him. So I said, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of God which we preach. And said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, what happens when you do that? You'll be saved. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that right there is what the enemy is trying to do to every man, is to keep him from accepting Jesus Christ and be saved from his bondage. Did you hear what I said, saints? The enemy does not want you to be saved from the bondage and from the chains that he has on you at one time. When you get saved, Jesus breaks all of that, you see. He cleans you up. All that stuff that was hanging on you, all that stuff that the enemy had placed in you for your destruction, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus saved you from all that stuff. So that's the beginning of your deliverance, salvation. And to those of you who are saved, that's the beginning of your deliverance, but you have to hold on to it. You can't continue to go back in your mind to the things that you came out of. You know what I said? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Your deliverance is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. But if you continue to tell yourself that you're bound, that you still whatever you were before you got saved, guess what? You're going to accept that. And that, believe it or not, you're going to be right back out there. Jesus said, no man touching the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom. Now, that's what Jesus said. You don't want to be like Lot's wife. You get delivered, you get set free, you get all the way out of the bondage, and then you look back and bam, there it is, right there. There it is. It's right up in your face. You can turn to a pillow of salt. In other words, you just died from the Spirit. You just died from God. Well, I'm going to get into some other things. I just wanted to bring that part out right there, because for some reason, nowadays, folks have a a strange concept of salvation and repentance. Some people think salvation and repentance is just going up there shaking the preacher's hand or just saying I'm saved, and then you keep living, you go right back to bed with that demon again or that devil. Somebody start talking about Holy Ghost, holiness, or the Word of God, and something happens to you. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that, people of the Most High God. I mean, it's something wrong when you say that you're saved and you say that you're filled with the Spirit, but you can't talk about Christ. You don't want to read the Bible. You don't want to talk about the things of God, but you're saved. You got all these things hanging on you, and you don't want to let them go. What is that? Is that deliverance? Is that salvation? Is that how the Lord wants you? No, the Lord doesn't want you like that. If Jesus wanted us to be like that, then he wouldn't have died on the cross. He wouldn't have made a way for our salvation. He would not have made a way for us to be delivered and set free. He would just left us alone and let the devil just beat us down and destroy us. But he didn't do that. And since he didn't do that, we shouldn't do some of the things that we do. But I'm going to go directly to the Word. I'm going to go to Luke 4, and then I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians 10. And the first thing I want to bring out in Luke 4 is this. We need the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it again. We need the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, okay. And I'm going to tell you why we need it. Luke 4:1. And Jesus, the Son of the living God, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, if Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, what does that leave us? And the reason I'm saying like this, Jesus did not really start until his ministry of power, until he was filled and full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was working exponentially in Jesus Christ before he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, he was led into something that body didn't want. And I'll say that again. His flesh really didn't want that. No, but he was obedient to the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit of God will lead us into things that we don't want. But the reason that the Spirit of God does that is to strengthen us and prepare us for the ministry that he has for us. Because sometimes some of us, our ministry is in deliverance. And so you're going to have to be full of the Holy Ghost. You can't go out there just being saved.
Be like them, sons of Sceva.
Yeah, you'll be just like the sons of Sceva, going off of what somebody else thought. And then when you come up in contact with a spirit, a demon, he just makes a clown out of you. Why? Because you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. You're not really saved, you see. And the enemy knows who is God's and who is not. The devil knows exorcist from a believer. He knows that. He knows when somebody is operating in the power of the Holy Ghost, or somebody that's operating through different sayings and formulas and stuff. The devil knows that. Them spirits know that. But the Holy Ghost is the very Spirit and the power of God. There is nothing, glory to God, there is nothing on the earth that's more powerful than the Holy Ghost. Nothing. All right, now let me read something here. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That is your deliverance right there. That is your deliverance right there, the word of God. Because if you don't know the word of God, You won't know how to go back on the enemy when he speaks to your mind. Because a lot of times the devil is so tricky, he'll come to your mind and make you think it's you. Yeah. The enemy will speak to your mind. It's a foul spirit. It's an unclean spirit. It's a demon. And he has you thinking that it's your own mind. And it's him. So if you're thinking it's your own mind, you won't try to cast him out. Because you say, oh, that's just a thought that I had. That's it. And that, okay. And you live with that thing.
You plant that seed.
And he's planting seeds in your mind to do evil and not to repent and not to turn to God. And you accept that, and it's him. So he can continue to occupy your temple. So he can continue to claim your house. You know what I said? I said, yo, it's your house, but he took it. He's a squatter. We're talking about basic deliverance teaching. And this is very basic. But let me go back to the word. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain and showed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now, a lot of people are falling for that right there. See, one thing about the enemy, he don't change his tactics. Why doesn't he change his tactics? Because it works. It works on so many people. Many times the enemy has brought this same thing to many people that he brought to Jesus, and they suck it up, hook, line, and sinker, and in 6 months, he might have $1 million. You know, he'll have some of everything, because the devil can give that stuff to him. Well, why some people might say, well, why and how can the devil give that stuff to him? Because he stole it. The devil, when he tricked Adam and Eve, he stole the earth. He stole the things of the earth. He stole the kingdoms of the earth. He stole the earth and the things of it. So since he stole it, he can give it to other folks. But when he give it to you, he's going to take you straight to hell. But Jesus reclaimed all that stuff. But at that time, Satan still has some authority in the earth, because this earth is the domain of Satan. The Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is like what Jesus told the centurion, the Roman, what he told Pilate. He said, this is not my kingdom. If this was my kingdom, my servants would fight. Now, did Jesus not say that? Huh? But it will be his kingdom, and he's coming back, and he's going to make this earth his kingdom. He's going to snatch all the power from the enemy, from the devil. He's going to throw him in the pit of hell. He's going to change him. He's going to throw him in that lake of fire and chain him there. And he will rule, Jesus Christ will rule the earth. He'll take it back. That's what's going to happen. He will take it back. So that's how the enemy can do some of the things that he's doing, because he has this little short period of time. He has this little short period of time where he's going to do some stuff and deceive many people. But in Christ Jesus, you don't have to be deceived. In Christ Jesus, you can be delivered. In Christ Jesus, you can be set free. In Christ Jesus, you can be saved. In Christ Jesus, you can be full of the power of the living God to effectively fight and defeat the enemy in your life. That's what the Lord Jesus did for us, starting in salvation, starting in accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus did not have a running conversation with the devil. And that's where many people mess up. They try to have running conversations with the devil. And they try to justify stuff that he says. He say, well, do this and do that, and I'll give you this and I'll give you that. And you say, well, you know, well, okay, well, but I, you know, but God said I really shouldn't be talking to you and discussing stuff. Oh, well, you know, God, he didn't mean that. Same way he told her, Eve, well, you know, God didn't really mean it like that. He didn't really say it like that. You misunderstood what he said. No, no, the devil is lying to you because he wants to keep you bound. So he'll come to your mind, he'll lie to you, he'll make you think that it's your own mind and that you got plenty of time. No, Now look at this here. Now Jesus told Satan, get behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I'm going to get into some other stuff a little later. I have a little time. I'm going to get into some other stuff a little later. But we do have our host, our guest call-in number at 646-668-8633. If you have anything you would like to talk about or a question, you can call in at 646-668-8633. We're waiting on your call. All right. Now, Satan also, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Let me say this again. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Okay? And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Now, if you notice, we're talking about basic deliverance. Evangelist Montgomery's brought out some excellent points. Excellent, excellent. And I want to bring out some things tonight. If you notice, the devil was quoting scripture to Jesus. See, that's the reason why we have to know the word of God, because if you don't know the word of God, the enemy's going to throw it, the word of God, back at you, but it's perverted. It's twisted. He's not going to give you the whole scripture. He's just going to give you the scripture that he wants to bring out to cause you to fall away from God. It's the word. It's the word, but it's not the whole word. It's not the true word. It's not the straight word. Well, what did Jesus say? Enter in at the straight gate? For narrow is that way? And few there be that find it. So we have to know the word of God, and we have to know it to the point that when the enemy try to bring it back to us, we wait a minute, say that ain't what the Lord said. And then you can say, get on out the way now. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Don't have a conversation with him. Rebuke him and go head on. Because if you try to have a conversation with the enemy, you're going to lose every time. You do him like what the Lord did. The Lord Jesus up on the mountain, he did not have a conversation with the devil. He kept bringing the word back to him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, he did another flip. He come back with something else. Well, look here. Okay, I say, are you hungry? But you ain't gonna make no bread right now. So I'm gonna come at you a different way. What do you think about this word, Jesus? Okay. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I'll give it to him. So okay, Jesus. Well, you, why don't you do this, Jesus? Okay. Why don't you just give me a little worship? Why don't you let me be God for a little while? See, that's how the enemy does. So we're talking about basic deliverance. There's idolatry. And Jesus told him that you just worship the Lord. Jesus said, we worship Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's the only one that you worship. You don't have any idols above our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have no idols above Yahweh. You have no idols above the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's anything that you put, an idol is anything that you put before God. It's a little g God. It's something that you worship. And when I say worship, it's not like you going out and you bowing down to this thing and you praying to it and you do, no, but you put it before God.
God telling you
put it before God. When God is saying, okay, you need to repent, you need to get rid of this thing, and you say no. Well, see, that's a God you. You worshiping that thing because it's controlling you now. You see? Okay, now let me go to some other scriptures. I just wanted to bring that out because what I wanted to bring out really is that Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Ghost. Some people have a problem with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you're not full of the Spirit, you really don't have the power to effectively fight the enemy. You don't have the power to effectively receive your deliverance in Christ because you're powerless. You may be saved, and salvation basically means you've been swept and cleaned up. You have accepted the Lord. He has accepted you as sons and daughters, but you need power. Remember, Jesus didn't do nothing. He didn't start his ministry until after he went and was tempted and he was full of the Holy Ghost. The apostles really didn't go out and start their ministries until what? Until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They went to the upper room. They waited there 120 days with 120 people on the 50th day of Pentecost, and they received and was full of the Holy Ghost. Then they went out and did great things. They did everything that the Lord told them to do, even unto death. Why? Why? Because they were full of the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of God. And they did everything that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. Except dying and being resurrected, sitting on the right hand of the Father. They couldn't do that because they weren't Christ. But all other things Jesus commanded them to do, they did it by the power of the Holy Ghost. They were delivered. They were set free, and they went and did the same thing to others. They received their deliverance, because remember, Peter, he cussed and denied the Lord. John, he run up out of his clothes in Gethsemane. And Judas just flipped all the way on the Lord and turned him in for 30 pieces of silver, and then went out and hanged himself. All of Jesus' disciples, before they were filled with the Holy Ghost, skied up when trouble came. You know what I'm talking about. Why did they do that? Because they didn't have the power to resist the enemy at that time, and they didn't understand some things. They didn't have that teacher and guide that was giving them instruction and giving them power and giving them strength and giving them anointing. They weren't full of the Holy Ghost. But he couldn't stand when the trouble came. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you cannot stand when the enemy comes to you. You'll stand for a little while with your own will and the little strength that you have. And by the fact of you being saved. And Jesus will be there. He will help you. But when you have the Holy Ghost, that is the power that he has given you that can flow in and through you to effectively defeat the enemy in your life. The reason many of you out there are suffering with these different things is because you won't allow the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost to do what he wants to do in your life. You won't speak the things of the Spirit. You want to allow the things of the Spirit to get in your heart for your deliverance so you can believe it and receive it and cast out that foul spirit. Now, I'm going to read something else in 1 Corinthians 10. And we talk about basic deliverance, but I want to bring some things out here. I wanted to bring that out about Jesus, because if he was full of the Holy Ghost, what makes you think that you don't need to be full of the Holy Ghost? If the devil came and tempted him, what makes you think that these foul, unclean, wicked, and evil spirits won't come to you and talking some trash to you to get you to fall away from the Lord, to get you to worship them instead of God? You got to have the Holy Ghost. I say it again. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's in the book. It's in the book. And one thing I want to say before I go into some other scriptures, the Holy Ghost has always been operating on the earth, but he hasn't always indwelled people. Samson's strength came by way of the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit. What did the book say? It said when the Spirit of God fell upon Samson, he did great things of strength that no man could do. That was by the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. All those great things that happened was by the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the power of the living God. But let me go to 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. That's what the enemy wants us to be. The enemy wants us to be ignorant of the power that we have in Christ Jesus over him. Did you hear what I said? The enemy, the devil, all these foul, unclean, wicked spirits wants us to be ignorant of the power that we have over them in Christ Jesus and in the Holy Ghost. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, the same spiritual meat. Think of this now. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You need Jesus Christ in your life and the power of the Holy Ghost to be delivered from the power of the enemy. You need it. It's not a want, it's a need. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. God is not well pleased with you being manipulated and tormented and bound up by the devil or by foul spirits. God is not pleased with that. He's not pleased with it. He doesn't want you to be that way. So why are you like that? God don't want you to be like that. God doesn't want you to be like that. So why are you like that? Think about it. It's not God's will. So if it's not God's will, why are you like that? Okay? For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. That's a doorway. That's a doorway for foul, unclean, and wicked spirits. Lust. It's not just sexual lust. It's lust of other things. It could be lust for power. Okay? It could be lust for notoriety. It could be lust for just other things. But those are openings and doorways for unclean spirits. It says, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. But you can, how is it that men and women, they lust for evil things, but they don't lust for the things of God? They don't have a burning desire for the things of God. We should have a burning desire for that. If we're going to lust, let's lust after the things of God. Let's lust after the Spirit of God. Let's lust after the Word of God. Let's lust after the good things of the Lord. Neither be you idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. Some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. 23,000 people died because they committed fornication. But before they committed fornication, they were idolaters. In other words, they start worshiping that golden calf. And after they start worshiping that golden calf, then they just went wanton and rose up to play. And when they say rose up to play, that meant that they went to doing everything that was against God. And they weren't just fornicating. They were doing all kind of other things too. But 23,000 of them died just like that in that one day. 23,000 died in that sin. The devil tricked them. God was displeased. And he said, okay, y'all, okay, that's it for you. I'm through with you. Bam. I'm taking you out right now. See, and what I want to say is the enemy wants you in a state where you can't repent or you won't repent. That's how he does. He wants you to be like him. See, Satan is damned. Satan is condemned. Satan and demon spirits, wicked spirits, evil spirits cannot be saved, will not ever be saved, and they will not ever go to heaven. You see? And that's what the devil wants everybody. He wants you to harden your heart against the Lord. He wants you in a state where you can't repent. He wants you to be like him. Lost. And hell bound, and he will give, and he'll do anything to mess you up like that. But let me get back to the word. It says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Do you see the pattern here? The devil will give you something, and then you're going to turn around and be destroyed of something, of serpents, destroyed of the destroyer for murmuring, tempting Christ, destroyed of serpents, committing fornication. 23,000 died in one day. So why are you going to listen to the enemy? And the Lord is showing you by his word the fruit of what he's telling you, the fruit of his bondage, the fruit of listening to his wicked and evil and unclean spirits. We're just talking about basic deliverance tonight. We're not getting all that deep. We're on the surface right now. We'll get a little deeper a little later, but you have to understand the tactics of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant of the tactics of the enemy, ignorant of how the devil operates, ignorance of the different doors and windows that you can open that allows him to come in." Now, we just read a couple of them, just a few of them. Fornication, temptation, murmuring, that's just a few. But all that other stuff, Ouija boards, tarot cards, palm readers, all those things, you're opening doors, and those foul spirits, unclean spirits, just flood in. Yeah. Video games that involve murder and sex and all this kind of stuff, you're opening doors.
Well, think about the kids at Columbine.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. All that. Let me read on. Let me go on now. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And then it says this, There has no temptation taken you but as such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be as tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. We are in basic deliverance teaching. We're going to continue on next week, but we just wanted to bring these things out because, for one thing, we have to realize that, and I said it previously, accepting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the beginning of our deliverance. But the Word of God also tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Basically, what that means and what he's saying is, you don't just get saved today and then you're not saved tomorrow. You don't have to work for your salvation. That is grace. That's a free gift. But once you accept the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power and anointing. Then you can work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And when it says work it out, that means you're not, as I said previously, you're not saved today. You didn't repent. You're repenting today, but tomorrow you're going to go back and do everything that you did before you repented. You have to crucify the flesh. You have to mortify the flesh. It's a daily walk. Like what Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus Christ said that. And Jesus tells the truth all the time. And even when the enemy was talking to Jesus, the enemy couldn't lie to Jesus. He couldn't lie to him. He couldn't. So everything that Satan was telling the Lord was true. But the Lord did not accept any of it. See, the enemy is capable of telling the truth. But when he tells the truth, it's to destroy you. It's still twisted. Even though it's the truth, it's still a lie because it's twisted. It's perverted. It sounds like the truth, but it's a lie disguised in the truth. Remember, he can transform himself into what? Angels of light. That's what he does. And that's how he tricks people. That's how he destroys people with his words, with his lies. But see, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't lie to the Holy Ghost, you see. But we can be lied to. But the devil can't lie to the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost knows the truth. And he can discern every spirit. And if we have the Holy Ghost residing in us, then we won't be lied to like that by the Holy Ghost. We won't be lied to like that by the enemy, because the Holy Ghost knows who he is. Amen. So that's our basic deliverance teaching tonight. We have about 6 minutes left. Call in is 646-668-8633. So that's going to be basically the end of our program on tonight of basic deliverance. But one thing I want to say is, it's not God's will for anybody to be bound by the devil, to be oppressed by the devil, for the devil to have preeminence over a person, and especially not God's people. So I want all of you listening out there, if you're going through something, I want you to know that it's not God's will that the enemy is attacking you like that, and that the enemy is taking advantage of you like that, and that the enemy is tormenting you. That's not God's will. But nevertheless,
we'll end in prayer, and I can pray this short prayer for him.
Well, go ahead.
Amen. We're going to just close it out in a short prayer, and stay tuned because we got like Bishop said this was just the basic deliverance, but we're gonna dive a little deeper and be discussing like generational curses and how to break generational curses from your life. And I know, there's so much we're going to be covering. So just hang tight with us. Tell a friend. Like I said, we preach the unadulterated word. We're getting ready to close out the program. Tell a friend. We're going to be on every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died on the cross for our sins. And just repeat this prayer with me. And you rose from the dead. You redeemed us by your precious blood. And I belong to you. I want you to say this because this is going to get you set free. And Lord Jesus, I want to live for you now. Mean it out your heart. Lord, I want to live for you now. I confess all my sins, known and unknown. And you can call them out. You know the sins. Let us lay aside every sin that so easily beset us. Lord, I'm sorry for them all. I renounce them all. Renounce if it's drugs, alcohol, perversion. I renounce them now. I forgive all others as I want you to forgive me. Forgive me now and cleanse me with your blood. Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses me now from all sin. And I come to you now as my deliverer. You know my special needs, Lord, the things that binds, that torments me, that defiles me, that evil spirit, that unclean spirit. I claim the promise of your word in Jesus' name and claim it. In Jesus' name, I command you to lead me right now in the name of Jesus. Call that thing out and say, I command you to lead me now. Again, dear friends, we're so glad you could tune in. Call us, give us some praise reports. You can reach us, email us. That's probably the best way to get in touch with us, or you could give us a call. But our email address is kingdomofgodministry77@gmail.com. Send us an email. And you can also visit our website at www.kingdomofgodministries77@gmail.com. Tell a friend, invite a guest. We're on live teaching right here out of the Atlanta area. The word is going forth. This is what God called us to do, and we're going to do it. So just let someone know, hey, and if you need deliverance, feel free to give us a call. Just inbox me or send me an email and put your phone number in the email and we'll get back with you. Amen. We love you. Hope you were blessed by the program on tonight. We look forward to being with you next Thursday. Have a good night and God bless. Amen. Good night.